Hallelujah. How's everybody? Are you blessed and highly flavored? Praise God. God is good all the time, isn't he? Oh, whoa. Hallelujah. Feels good to be in the house of the Lord. I love the presence of the Lord. That's the only place of fulfillment. Glory to God. Would you turn to Psalm 9, please? Psalm 9. We are in a time of such turmoil. We are in a time of, there's so much influence and frustration and there's a lot of intimidation. There's again, and I've shared before that evil is increasing in a tremendous way. And the word tells us that many will fall from the faith due to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. And it's something that we must always understand, that one of the things the enemy wants to do is influence how you feel. See, if he can get an individual that relies on how they feel, he can always use them. Always. That's his, Satan's greatest weapon is deception. So what he wants to do is let you know that he tries to manipulate your feelings. He knows whether you're being led by your feelings more than the voice of God. You know, many people are willing to express their feelings all the time. So quick and easy to express their feelings instead of express the word of the Lord. And this influence of the enemy is causing a lot of turmoil and deception and division and strife. And that's how he infiltrates the body of Christ. He has to use somebody. That's his job. One of the things he utilizes is pride. Pride is the number one killer of mankind. It isn't sickness and diseases or addictions or doctors or drugs. It's pride. The Bible says that pride goes before a fall. So when a person falls, it's because pride there. Personal reverence into a deadly end. Because that individual is still relying on themselves and how they feel. And the enemy knows that if he can emotionally deceive you, he can promote pride and cause us to stumble. That's his job, and he does it well, and he's been doing it for thousands of years. And let me tell you something, he'll outwit a believer in a second if that person is not tentative, discerning, sensitive, and filled with the Holy Spirit. There's something that Jesus always shared with us. He said, labor unto him. When people grumble and complain, it's because it's about themselves. I just don't like how this, shut up, you flesh creature. And that's what it's all about. See, the enemy wants to promote you. And if he can promote you, you can't promote Jesus. It just doesn't work that way. You know, there are many people who talk it, but they don't walk it. Oh, yeah, listen, only. And something comes their way, and all of a sudden, poof, they're in the flesh like crazy. Demons are licking them like a piece of lollipop. They become food for demons because they get fed by emotion. So they're trying to influence us in an emotional stress, an emotional fear, an emotional lust, and all these emotional anger and hatred. All of these things. Why? So you become a lollipop for a demon. That's how they get fed. One of the things that Satan's trying to do is not, okay, so why does he do these things? Why does his kingdom do these things? To prevent you from entering eternal life. That's his job. He hates God. He hates you. He loves himself, but yet he hates himself. He is so deceiving as a master of deception that he's deceived himself. He actually believes he can defeat God, his creator. See, he was so close to God that he became so familiar that he lost respect and honor and became prideful himself. One of the things that's been lacking and lost is the fear of the Lord. And where there's no fear of the Lord, there's no wisdom. There's no seeing it through. Where there's no fear of the Lord, the only thing that's promoted is self. People make decisions by how they feel instead of the fear of the Lord. And it causes so much division and strife and turmoil in the body of Christ, where then the body of Christ, other parts of the body have to pick up what the other ones have left off. And it puts more stress on the body. Other people have to work longer because the other ones aren't fulfilling what they're called to do. But again, Satan's purpose is to prevent individuals. He doesn't care what you do, as long as you can feed him. If he uses humans and even believers to get fed, and he doesn't care what you're doing for God. He doesn't care. His whole purpose is to try to prevent you from entering the eternal realm forever, because he knows that who you serve when you die is where you go. He knows. See, one of the things that's happening in the world right now, there is so much disrespect. There's so much stuff going on. There's so much evil going on. We see Satan's army being established all over the world. It's being established. It's come forth. It's come up. His army is all over the world. They are getting ready to attack Israel. That's their purpose. They hate Christians and they hate Jews. And they really hate all mankind. But his army is coming up. There is no consideration. There's no compassion. It's nothing but hatred and pure murder. And that's what we're seeing happening. We're seeing it in these countries of Lebanon and Iraq. There are organizations. They're not organizations. Those are Satan's army. Is everybody okay? And the thing that they're trying to do is kill as many people before they accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior so they go to hell. See, for so many people, hell is not a reality. And when hell becomes a reality to you, fear of the Lord becomes a reality. Because one is not without the other. In Psalm 9, in verse 15, would you read it with me? The nations have sunk down in the pit which they made, in the net which they hid. Their own foot is caught. The Lord is known by the judgment he executes. The wicked is snared in the work of his own hands. The wicked shall be turned into what? Hell. And all the nations that what? Forget God. So the wicked will be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God turn into hell. Well, there is a reality of hell that I want to talk about tonight. And I hope that all of our listeners and watchers are listening. And if you've been a person that just doesn't believe in hell and people have been telling you that there is no hell, I'm going to tell you that there is a hell. There is a hell. And it's a terrible place to be. Now, you may think, well, I have hell on earth. Well, you ain't seen nothing yet. So your life might have been abusive and all kinds of stuff. That's nothing compared to hell. In Deuteronomy 32. In verse 16, Deuteronomy 32 and verse 16. It says that they provoked the Lord to jealousy with foreign gods. With abominations, they provoked him to anger. They sacrificed to demons, not to God. To gods they did not know. To new gods and new arrivals. That your fathers did not fear. Of the rock who begot you, you are unmindful. And have forgotten the Lord who fathered you. And when the Lord saw it, he spurned them because of the provocation of his sons and his daughters. And he said, I will hide my face from them. I will see what their end will be. For they are a perverse generation, children in whom there is no faith. They have provoked me to jealousy by what is not God. They have moved me to anger by their foolish idols. But I will provoke them to jealousy by those who are not a nation. And I will move them to anger by a foolish nation. For a fire is kindled in my anger and shall burn to the what? Lowest hell. I want you to understand that there are certain chambers in hell. There are levels in hell. It shall consume the earth with their increase and set on fire the foundations of the mountains. It is the lowest hell. Again, there are levels of chambers. There are prisons. They're like cells. In Proverbs 15. Hallelujah. Proverbs 15. In verse 23. Is everybody there? Proverbs 15, 23. Let's speak it together. A man has joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season, how good it is. The way of life winds upward for the wise, that he may turn away from hell below. The Lord will destroy the house of the what? Proud. But he will establish the boundary of the widow. The thoughts of the wicked are an abomination to the Lord, but the words of the pure are pleasant. So what is he saying? He's saying, look, in this place, the proud are known as wicked. And he said he'll destroy that house. He said, listen, you're going to need some wisdom so you don't end up in hell yourself. You know, many people come to Jesus and think that it's all over with. Well, I can just come to Jesus and he'll take me all the way home. No, the word says that you're to grab hold of God, then he'll grab hold of you. When you let go of him, he lets go of you. And believe me, the demons wait for the moment to take you. See, so when you give your last breath, either the demons come and bring you to hell or the angels come and bring you to heaven, one or the other. So those who are wise will turn away from hell, but the proud house will be destroyed and be sent to hell. In Proverbs 27, hell. When I look at H-E-L-L, is having eternal life lost. Having eternal life lost, H-E-L-L. Proverbs 27 and verse 19. Would you read it with me? As in water, face reflects face, so a man's heart reveals the man. Hell and destruction are never full. It's constantly growing. I want you to understand that hell is constantly growing. So the eyes of a man are never satisfied. The refining pot is for silver and the furnace for gold, and a man is valued by what others say of him. So we see that hell and destruction is never full. It's constantly growing. Just like the body of Christ grows, so does hell grow. In Matthew chapter 5. You know, again, there's just not there's not enough reality of hell. People don't see things through. Decisions that are made and the ripple effects. And not saying that we know. And look, we're all sinners, amen? We all make mistakes. But if there's a relationship with the Lord, you're going to repent quickly. If there's not a relationship with the Lord, you're going to try to justify your wrong. Try and blame it on somebody else. Make excuses. Justify it, reason it, and everything else. And let me tell you, that person is heading on the way to hell. In Matthew 5, is everybody there? I think it's in verse 28. But I say to you that whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out and cast it from you, for it is more profitable for you that one of your members perish than your whole body be cast into hell. Now, again, don't pluck your eye out physically. Amen? We don't need people to come in here next week with patches on their eye. But it's talking about in that area that you cast that out. You cast that thought down. You remove it. You turn away. You know, listen, there's many beautiful men and women all over. There's nothing wrong with acknowledging God's creation. But there's something wrong when there's a lust over it. Amen? There's a lust over it. And a lust is an area where a person wants a desire to be with that person. That's lusting. Is everybody okay? That's not love affair. That's lust affair. And there's a lot of lustafarians around. Causes a lot of problems. In verse 30 it says, if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and cast it from you. For it is more profitable for you that one of your members perish than for your whole body to be cast into where? Hell. Again, keep your hands on, just repent, and don't do it again. Amen? Turn from it. So we see here there's a reality of things that he said, that the Lord is expressing. Now, this is Jesus explaining it to his. Now, I'm going to share something with you, that majority of the time, Jesus, who he was speaking to the Jews. And they were believers. They were supposedly those who were following the law. They believed in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And many of them were demonized and bound by religion. In Luke 16. Luke 16 and verse 19. There was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. But there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, full of sores, who was laid at his gate, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. So it was that the beggar died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And being in torments in Hades, which is known as hell, it's a level compartment of hell, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. Now the Lord is explaining about hell. Then he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. So it's obviously pretty hot there. For I am tormented in this what? Flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and you are tormented. And besides all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that those who want to pass from here to you cannot. There is no escape. Nor can those from here there pass to us. Then he said, I beg you therefore, Father, that you would send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that he may testify to them, lest they also come to this place of torment. So he realized that he couldn't get rescued, but please tell the rest. And Abraham said to him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, no, Father Abraham, but if one goes to them from the dead, they will repent. But he said to him, if they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded the one rise from the dead. And who was he talking about? Jesus. They still wouldn't be persuaded. See, so there is a real place called hell. Have an eternal life lost. In Matthew 16. Okay, Matthew 6, sorry. In verse 13. Is everybody there? Let's speak it. Enter by the narrow gate. Amen. For wide is the gate and broad is the way. You know what? I'm in the wrong one. Okay. It's Matthew 7. 13, sorry. I was at the right one. You were at the wrong one. Hallelujah. Matthew 7, 13. Would you read it with me? Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it. Many. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life. No one said getting into heaven was going to be easy. There will be resistance. And there are few who find it. Few who find it. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is what? Cut down and what? Thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you will know them. Not everyone who comes to me says, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. Now, I want you to look at this. He's just talked about those who are bearing bad fruit. And he said, only the ones that bear bad fruit will be tossed into the fire. That's hell. He said, many will come to me saying, Lord, Lord. So these are believers, aren't they? Supposedly believers that have accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and they're calling him Lord. He says, many will say to me, and not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. Well, if you're not entering the kingdom of heaven, you're entering the kingdom of hell. But he who does the what? Will of my Father in heaven. It's amazing how many people don't get this. You must have a desire to do the will of the Lord, not your will, his will. There must be a prayer constantly, Lord, not my will, but your will. Lord, what is your will? I want your will. Lord, shut the doors that are not your will. Open the doors that are your will. See, there are many people that pray but don't obey. He said, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name and cast out demons in your name and done many wonders in your name. And he's going to say, yes, you did. You did do all of these things in my name because I let you use my name. And I will declare to them, I never knew you. You used me, but you didn't know me. I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Wow. Well, if the Lord tells you to depart from him, you're certainly not going to heaven. Hello. You're going to hell. And there's a real place there. There is a real hell. In Matthew 13. Again, it seems that people have forgotten about the reality of hell. People are so caught up in prosperity and so caught up in all of the other things, what God can give them, and trying to fix all of the things in their life that they're losing sight that it's just all you need is a relationship and things will get fixed. And there should be a fear of the Lord all the time. There should be a reverence to him. Without that fear and reverence to him, then there's no acknowledgement of hell. See, there should be a fear of losing your salvation. There should be a fear of losing your soul where it burns. There should be a fear. See, when you lose the fear of the Lord, you better grab the fear that you may go to hell. Why have a life to live? You're supposed to lose your life. You're supposed to give your life to him so his life can be expressed through you if you're truly a believer. In Matthew 13, verse 37, and he answered and said unto him, he who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seeds are the sons of the kingdom, but the tares are the sons of the what? Wicked one. So there are sons of devils here. Hello? There are servants of Satan in the physical realm. The enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are the angels. Therefore, as the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, the tares are gathered and burned in the fire. These are the sons of Satan. So will it be at the end of this age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and those who practice lawlessness, and will cast them into the furnace of fire. That is called hell. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has an ear, let him hear. So if you lose the reverence and fear of God, you better grab hold of the fear of hell. Isaiah 14. There must be a reality of hell. You know, when we were out there doing stuff that was wrong and headed on the way to hell, there was something in us that was, there was a fear of what happened if, what would happen if I died. Believe me, even those who are, say, they're atheists, when death begins to strike them, you know what they say? Oh, God. Because it's born in them. It's in them. You can't remove it that there is a God. And you can't remove it there is a hell. Because there is. Isaiah 14, in verse 9. Would you read it with me? Hell from beneath is excited about you to meet you at your coming. It stirs up the dead for you, all the chief ones of the earth. It has raised up from their thrones, and all the kings of the nations. They shall all speak and say to you, have you also become as weak as we? Have you become like us? Your pomp is brought down to hell, and the sound of your string instruments, the maggot is spread under you, and worms cover you. That's what it's like in hell. Well, who's he saying this to? Oh, how you have fallen from heaven, Lucifer. See, even though Satan is ruling in hell, he's going to end up in hell himself in torment in the lake of fire. How you have cut down the ground, cut down to the ground, you who have weakened the nations. For you have said in your heart, what does it say? I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation. A lot of I syndrome, isn't it? On the farther sides of the north, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High God. And here's the Lord's response. Yet you shall be brought down to hell, to the lowest depths of the pit. So again, there are chambers and levels in hell. Amen? In this, so Lucifer would be eventually sent to the pit, which he would be there for 1,000 years. There is chambers in hell where people are prisoners, where there's fire burning, but it's not the lake of fire. So there's the pit of hell of torment and darkness. There's the fire of hell that is burning in people in the chambers. And then there's the lake of fire. In Jude 4, reality of hell. Is everybody okay? See, we not only preach God's love, but you must decree his judgment. Amen. I mean, we can't just talk about how God blesses. You better start talking about how God judges in the wrath of God, because there's two. In verse 4, it says, "For certain men have crept in unnoticed, who long ago were marked out for this condemnation, ungodly men who turn the grace of our God into lewdness and deny the only Lord and our Lord Jesus Christ. But I want to remind you, though you once knew this, that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed those who what? Did not believe." And what's the word believe mean? To follow. They didn't follow. He destroyed them. "And the angels who did not keep their proper domain, but left their own abode, he has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness for the judgment of the great day. As Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around them, in a similar manner to these, having given themselves over to sexual immorality and gone after strange flesh, are set forth as an example, suffering and the vengeance of eternal fire." Eternal fire. Hell. In Romans 2. Nobody gets away with it. Everyone will be judged. I'm not asking you to go out there and tell everyone, "Yeah, you're going to hell." Although some people need to hear it that way. But there's got to be a desire to rescue. There's got to be a desire to be willing to train, be trained up to rescue. There's got to be a willing desire to make that communication and establish that relationship with the Lord so that you are led by the Spirit and not by how you feel or your circumstances. See, we're to sever our past. If you're still, you know, people are still boasting about what they used to do. Whippy. That means you did it. There's no glory in God of what you used to do. There's glory in God of what he's doing now. Hello? Yes, he rescued me. I can give him the glory. Amen? Now I can bring the testimony of his glory. Amen? You bring the testimony. Now, the testimony of the Lord is present, and it's always it's omnipresent. It's always there. Always the testimony is there. Everybody that has the testimony. But look at it. If you ain't walking what you're talking, your testimony is nullified. It's nullified. In fact, the Lord says, "What right do you have to decree my words in your mouth, you wicked who practice lawlessness?" He says he'll cut you up in pieces. Romans chapter 2, verse 1. "Therefore you are inexcusable, O man, whoever you are, who judge. For in whatever you judge another, you condemn yourself. For you who judge practice the what? Same thing." So look, there's nothing wrong with judging. We're not condemning. We are judging fruit, aren't we? We're not condemning people. We're judging fruit. But if you're judging fruit on someone else and you're practicing the same thing, you're in trouble. "But we know that the judgment of God is according to truth against those who practice such things. And do you think this, O man, you who judge those practicing such things and doing the same thing, that you will escape the judgment of God? Or do you despise the riches of his goodness, forbearance, and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance?" In other words, there's an opportunity to repent and turn from it. "But in accordance with your hardness and your impotent heart, you are treasuring up for yourselves" what? "Wrath in a day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to each one according to his deeds. Eternal life to those who by patient continuance in doing good seek for glory, honor, and immortality. But to those who are" what? "Self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation, and wrath, tribulation and anguish on every soul of the man who does evil, of the Jew first and also the Greek. But glory, honor, and peace to everyone who works what is good, to the Jew first and also to the Greek, for there is no partiality with God." See, so many people think that their works are what's going to rescue them. There's a lot of people walking around knocking on doors, trying to witness Jesus when they practice lawlessness themselves. God knows. See, people think that you're saved by works. You're not saved by works. You're saved by obedience. That's called grace, because what's grace? God's plan. So if you're not in God's plan, then you're out of it. You're either in it or you're out of it. And it's obedience to God's plan that we are maintain salvation. And it's crazy. It blows me away that people believe that once you're saved, you're always saved. That's just incredible. That's not even doctrine. Then why did Jesus come? Why did he die for us on the cross? Why did he tell us to get dressed with the full armor of God? Why did he give us weapons? It'd be senseless then. We could just accept Jesus Christ and go fornicate and do whatever we want to do. Well, you weren't saved from the beginning. What? And who are you to say that someone wasn't saved from the beginning? The Bible says if you confess your sins and accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, salvation is granted to you. Now you follow. Well, they didn't mean it. Oh, see, religious doctrine makes excuses for the word itself. That's all it is. You know why? Because they would rather have salvation by works, not by relationship. And there really is no reverence to God. Because if there was a reverence to God, they'd be fearing their loss. So if there's no fear of God, there's no fear of hell. Does everybody get that? There's no fear of hell then. Hallelujah. Oh, glory. Matthew 8. Matthew chapter 8. Glory. Actually, I want to skip this. I want to go to Matthew 6. One of the things that cause individuals, see, people think, well, I'm a good person, I do this, I do that, but they still hold bitterness and unforgiveness. And the word says in verse 14, if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you did not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. So if you ain't forgiven, you know where you're going? Certainly not heaven. Yeah, but you don't know what happened to me. Too bad. He does. If you're still caught up in that, then you're snagged in it. And there's an open door to the devil that's always promoting bitterness. And you walk around miserable. And you're looking for fulfillment. You need to sever that, bless, forgive, and go on. Amen? Does everybody understand that? Forgiveness, unforgiveness is a key to hell. You get a free key. No room service, I can guarantee you that. And Galatians chapter 5. Outer darkness is hell. It talks about gnashing of teeth. Galatians chapter 5. So what gets people in hell? Well, you know what? Not accepting Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Not following. Doing your own will instead of his will. Practicing lawlessness. Thinking it's okay to shack up with one another. Thinking it's okay to do all of these things. Practicing lawlessness. It's a life without a law that's pleasing God. There is a hell. We have been rescued to decree God's love, God's judgment, eternal life, and eternal damnation. That's what we were rescued, and we should have a desire to rescue others no matter what it takes. In Galatians 5, verse 19, it says, now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and anything like this, which is known as lawlessness, of which I tell you before, and just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Well, if you're not inheriting the kingdom of God, what are you inheriting? Hell. That's why we must get people out of addiction. Addiction is called sorcery. Drugs, sorcery, pharmakia, black magic, witchcraft, and sorcery. People that are addicted out there are going to hell. Who you serve when you die is where you go. There are many people that have gotten saved, stayed clean. But it's not just about staying clean. It's about staying in relationship. Ended up getting frustrated because something happened in their life. Decided to go to the bar, drink, party that night, and overdosed. You know where they ended up? Hell. You mean after being saved for 30 years? That's right. Because who you serve when you die is where you go. It's not how you begin, it's how you end. But you got to begin somewhere, don't you? Is everybody okay? I'm going to read you something, okay? There was this, I found this here, it was pretty powerful. There was a woman that went to hell. And this was written in 1936. And she was a nun, and the Lord brought her to hell. And there are seven torments of hell that she spoke about, and I want to share them with you. It says, today I was led by an angel to the shams of hell. It is a place of great torture. How awesomely large and extensive it is. The kinds of torture I saw. The first torture that constitutes hell is the loss of God. So the first torture is the what? Loss of God. The second torture is the perpetual remorse of conscience. In other words, that remorse of conscience. You can never stop in remorse. So the first one is the loss of God. The second one is the continuous, the perpetual remorse of conscience. The third is that one's condition will never change what's happening to them. It can never change. The fourth is the fire that will penetrate the soul without destroying it. It is a terrible suffering. In other words, the soul, it's penetrating the soul. In certain circumstances, the flesh, because it's a different type of flesh now, the flesh continues to burn, fall off, and come back, and burn, fall off, and come back. The walls are alive of evil. These are people that are put in cages. They are prisons. These are the chambers. There are certain levels in certain places. And there are worms and snakes and torments. They are bit, they are burned, and they are tormented constantly. The fourth is a fire that will penetrate the soul without destroying it. A terrible suffering since it is a purely spiritual fire lit by God's anger. The fifth torture is continual darkness and a terrible suffocating smell. And that suffocating smell, it is so disgusting. It's like sulfur and it's flesh burning. And despite the darkness, the devils and the souls of the damned see each other and all the evil, both of others and their own. So they also see each other's evils and the things that are happening. There was one person that went to hell and saw Michael Jackson, and he was still dancing in the cell, burning and screaming. Is everybody okay? Let's see. That was the what? Sixth? The sixth torture is the constant company of Satan. In other words, his evil demons and so forth are picking, torturing, poking, and everything. The seventh torture is the horrible despair. It is hatred of God, vile words, curses, and blasphemies always constantly coming out of people. These are the tortures that suffered by all the damned together. But that is not the end of the sufferings. There are special tortures destined for particular souls. These are the torments of the senses. Each soul undergoes terrible and indescribable sufferings related to the manner in which he has sinned. There are caverns and pits of torture where one form of agony differs from another. I would have died at the very sight of these tortures if the omnipotent presence of God had not supported me. Let the sinner know that he will be tortured throughout all eternity, and those senses which he made use of to sin. I am writing this as a commandment of God, so that no soul may find an excuse by saying there is no hell, or that nobody has ever been there, and so no one can say, what is it like? I, by the order of God, have visited the abyss of hell, so that I might tell souls about it and testify to its existence. I cannot speak about it now, but I have received a command from God to leave it in writing. The devils were full of hatred for me, but they had to obey me at the command of God. What I have written is but a pale shadow of the things I saw. But I noticed one thing, that most of the souls there are those who disbelieve that there is a hell. When I came to, I could hardly recover from the fright. How terribly souls suffer there. Consequently, I pray even more fervently for the conversion of sinners. I plead God's mercy upon them. O my Jesus, I would rather be in agony until the end of the earth amidst the greatest sufferings than offend you by the least of sin. This is a woman that was taken to hell in 1936 by the Lord. There is a real hell. Amen. In Romans chapter 3. In verse 10. Romans 3, verse 10. Reality of hell. Let's read it together. As it is written, there is no righteous, no, not one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks after God. They have all turned aside. They have together become unprofitable. There is none who does good, no, not one. Their throat is an open tomb. With their tongues they have practiced deceit. The poison of ass is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and mercy is in their ways. And the way of peace they have what? Not known. There is no fear of God before their what? No fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh shall be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God appeared from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe. For there is no difference. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God sent forth as propitiation by his blood through faith, to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance God has passed over the sins that were previously committed, to demonstrate at the present time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, in verse 9, would you read it with me? Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Okay, so if they're not going to inherit the kingdom of God, what are they going to inherit? Hell. Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelries, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of us, but we were washed and were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. All things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. So there are many people out there that are supporting same-sex marriage, that are in, they're in fornication, they're bisexuals, whatever it may be. These are spirits in them. There's spirits in you. Jesus is offering a way of escape from hell, because if you practice those things, you're going to hell. Now, why take the chance? Why take the chance? You know, he offers repentance and salvation. Believe me, he'll remove those spirits if you're willing to follow. If you're willing to submit and obey, God is able to free anyone from anything. Amen? He's able to free anyone from anything. In Hebrews chapter 10, time is running out. It's time to be honest with yourself. Examine yourself. Judge yourself. In Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 26, Actually, I'd like to start at 23, so we get a little understanding. It says, let us hold fast the confession of our faith, our confession of our hope without wavering, no wavering. Amen? For he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking to assemble. Again, I go back to that because one of the things that people, they lose sight that that's a command of God is to assemble. He requires that we assemble. Not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together as in a manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. Verse 26, read it with me. For if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins. In other words, you're not covered anymore. If you willfully commit sin, there is no covering. Covering of what? You're not covered by the blood until you repent, of course. But a certain fearful expectation of judgment and a fiery indignation which will devour the adversaries. Anyone who's rejected Moses' law dies without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. Look at this, 29. How much worse punishment do you suppose will he be thought worthy who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, counted the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified a common thing, and insulted the Spirit of grace? That person's headed on the way to hell. But I've been a believer 30 years. Well, believe me, if you've been a believer for 30 years and following Jesus Christ and in fellowship and relationship, you wouldn't be in this condition. You just wouldn't be in that condition. Verse 30, for we know him who said, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. And again, the Lord will judge his people. So if there's any consideration of going back to the world, you'd have to be plumb stupid. It's real simple. Why? Because the world is an entry port to hell. The way of the world is an entry port to hell. That's why the world is also known as outer darkness. Does everybody get it? It's outer darkness. And that's why it says, come out from among them. We're not of the world anymore. We have a citizenship from heaven, an eternal place. Even though we live here, we should be living in the other realm, walking in both. Amen? In Revelation 19, hallelujah, the reality of hell. You know, it sounds strange, but our president's going to hell. It's a terrible thing, isn't it? There's a lot of preachers that are going to hell. There's a lot of people sitting in churches that are going to hell. It's terrible. A lot of good people that are going to hell because they've relied on themselves as thinking that they're goodness. There's only one way to heaven, and that is through Jesus Christ, and that's that. Buddha's a demon. Hello? All these religions is nothing but demonic influence of false gods. That's all it is. Allah is a demon, and he will lead you to hell. It's real simple. These are demonic forces of Satan's kingdom that are leading people astray to hell. You can hold on to that tree and be a nature lover, and you'll burn with it. It's time to wake up. It's time to get real, because there is a reality of hell, and there's got to be an established fear of God so that there's a fear of hell. In Revelation 19, in verse 19, and I saw the beasts, the kings of the earth, and their armies gathered together to make war against him who sat on the horse and against his army. And the beast was captured, with him the false prophet who worked signs in his presence, by which he deceived those who received the mark of the beast and those who worshipped his image. These two were cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone. And the rest were killed with the sword which proceeded from the mouth of Jesus, who sat on the horse, and all the birds were filled with their flesh. In Revelation 20, verse 11, then I saw a great white throne, and him, Jesus, who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead and the small and the great standing before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades, so hell, was also brought forth up, everyone that was in it, to be judged for another place called the lake of fire. That is the eternal place. See, hell is actually a temporary place. So you see here that, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them. That's hell. So they were brought forth before the Lord, the throne of judgment. And they were judged, each one according to his works. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire, which is the eternal burning. This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire. That was final judgment, eternally continuing to burn. And I want to close at 2 Peter chapter 3. It's very possible that the lake of fire during the millennium will be the Dead Sea. And as we go to worship the Lord, the Feast of Tabernacle, so forth, people will be going by it. But see, as a glorified body, you are totally different. There won't be sorrow. There won't be tears. There won't be crying. There won't be remorse. They've chosen that path, and you've chosen yours. Hallelujah. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, some count slackness, but in longsuffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot and blameless, and consider that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you in all of his epistles, speaking in the things in which are some things hard to understand, which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction, as they do also the rest of the scriptures. You therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked, but grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory in both now and forever, and forever, and forever. There is a hell. Don't wait to find out. Don't wait. Because then it's too late. Amen? Steadfast. Follow. Assemble. Associate. Associate with those that have a pure heart, that are really seekers of the Lord. Associate with them. So that there's something that is hindering you that you don't see, somebody can bring it up. Amen? Your associations will bring impartations. Again, things are getting so close that we must be ready at any moment. Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. And I pray that everyone that hears this message realize that it's not from a man, it's from you. And it's a cry of your love to those who are lost, living outside of salvation's truth. And to the fornicators and the perverse and the lying and the thieves and the cowardly and all those that are practicing lawlessness, Lord, that you'd send great conviction to turn their hearts towards you, that they may know your love and fulfillment and know your compassion and truth, that their hearts would be not only turned towards you, but given a new one. So, Father, I pray today that each and every one would be blessed and protected, and the seed would grow and bear fruit for your glory, and that you would give us a heart for the lost in gratefulness of what you've done for us, but it's not over with just us. There's much more to do. So, Lord, bless your people, protect them, prosper them in the things of the Spirit. and grant them favor in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen.